call to order the December 8, 2015 special magistrate proceedings for the city of Daytona Beach to order. At the outset, I review, approve, and execute the minutes of November 10, 2015. Do you have any announcements before we move to this morning's agenda?
I just want to tell you there is one case that is in compliance but not reflected on the agenda. Number 17, case number SMG 12156 for 956 Redwood Street, compliance December 4th.
Okay, we've got a resolution to case number 19, so we're going to go to case number 19. Ramona's Georges LLC. Is there anyone here represented, or anyone here on behalf of the respondent?
Yes, Brent Hartley on behalf of Ramona's Georges and 2D2G.
Okay. Counsel, do you agree to violate? Existed, referred as stated notice of violation.
I do. That's correct. And the one thing I don't have control over is that we're going to have a permit. We're going to have a permit request placed in this week. I don't know how long it'll take. I'm assuming it'll be long.
Understand. Council, let's say the city.
Just a moment. Mr. Calder, Tony Jackson for Anthony Jackson, Assistant City Attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. The city doesn't have any problem with. We agree that it will, if he's seeking to add the sign, that it will be a permitting issue that may take a little time, and we have no problem with the time period requested.
I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by February 3, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, if you get held up on the permit, make sure you get in touch with the inspector to let him know what's going on. Okay. So if there are any delays, we'll be prepared for it.
Thank you. I have nothing further. May I be excused?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right. Let's go to case number 7. Segway to me, LLC.
Okay,
I apologize. First off, for those representatives of the City of Daytona Beach who are testifying in this morning's proceedings, please step forward and be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Okay, case number 7, segue to me. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent?
Yes, Roland Blossom. I'm Mr. LaKelja, 333 South Ridgewood Avenue.
This was the determination of compliance or non-compliance was previously continued from our November 10 meeting. Do we agree the violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
With a caveat, sir.
Okay, what caveat's that?
Well, this was the case that that is presently in the circuit court. The violations occurred, under a previous owner in 2012. It ended up being an order finding the violation and fining up to $15,000. That $15,000 was paid by the new owner. It's really a little bit complicated. It was paid into escrow at closing, and at closing, prior to closing, my client was in touch with the city concerning the payment of that $15,000. The $15,000 was placed in escrow in January to be released to the city if it was not paid by the end of March of 2014. The property was purchased in January on the 14th. Of 2014. Immediately after that, an application was filed for the business permit, and shortly after that, an application for the building permit to correct those violations, most of which are before Your Honor at this time. I have some documents supporting that, and essentially what we have done prior to the last meeting, we made application to the city again for the building permits. When they were made in 2014, the building permit was denied because the city indicated that they had decided that it was a non-conforming use that had expired because of the lapse of more than 6 months. The problem that we had in that interim is that in reality, it had only been not functional for 4 months, not six, before it went into bankruptcy, which, of course, at that point, it causes a stay on those proceedings. So after it was purchased in January, once it was released by the bankruptcy judge, at that point, immediately, Mr. Schaefer started making his applications for both the building permit and to clear up those violations, and also for the business license. Those things were denied when the city determined that the non-conforming use had expired, had terminated. We filed a petition for writ of certiorari in the circuit court. An order to show cause was issued. The city responded. We replied, and we're waiting for the court to set that.
Ms. Vakelja and Mr. Blossom, I can shortcut this. That is my understanding. You may recall last time we were before you was not really up to speed on what was going on with there was an understanding that there was something filed with the circuit court. There was a filing and an answer. It's still pending. The position of staff at this point is we understand, as Mr. Blossom has explained, and as we've looked into the file, that at this stage you really can't accomplish the things that we were seeking, and so we are asking to withdraw the case, or I don't think you've made any findings at this point, or you can dismiss it, and then we will refile if necessary after they get their remedy from the whichever way it goes from the circuit court.
Outcome of this circuit court determination?
Yes, and there's no action they can really take on these issues. Now, of course, if there are issues that arise that are not zoning related that would need to be remedied, then we'd cite them for those.
These issues. I'll just allow you to withdraw without prejudice.
Certainly.
If you want to resurrect this, so be it.
Okay, very good.
You withdraw it, status quo is what it is, and then you can resume. Square one, it may be.
That's great. That is our request.
All right. With regard to case number 7, the city's announced its intent to withdraw the case. So with that, I'll consider it withdrawn. And for the record, I want it to be clear that it's without prejudice. Should the city be seeking this same relief in the future, or whatever other relief it may be seeking with regard to this matter? Okay, gentlemen. Go ahead.
Understood, sir. Thank you. May I be excused?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right. The first case is 1238 Fifth Street, King Cerame Properties Incorporated. Is there anyone here for the respondent?
Good morning.
Please state your name and be sworn.
I'm Bill Bolin with All Quality Group. I'm a licensed general contractor.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm
that the testimony you have
provided
is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing
but the truth?
I do.
And
we do have a letter from a property owner allowing
Mr. Bolin
to appear on their behalf.
Although undated.
Oh.
Just fix your form in the future.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said they may
want to
fix the form in the future, so they put a date on there.
Oh, it was last minute. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Okay, we have an order of noncompliance entered September 2014, an affidavit of noncompliance October 8, 2014, amended order of noncompliance October 2014, an affidavit of noncompliance December 2014, an order imposing fine lien December 2014, an affidavit of compliance November 20, 2015. And it looks as though the fine lien is $250 per day, which means we had to have been pretty aggravated. And it looks as though it maxed out at $15,000. All right, and now we have a lien review request. You're here on behalf of the owner.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So we're here.
Should we consider any relief?
Okay, so bring you up to speed on what I know of the project. They hired me as a contractor because they don't live in the property, so they needed a contractor to make the repairs to the structure. We're here today seeking a reduction or dismissal of the some relief of the fines. I was contacted in the latter part of January of 2015. They brought me up to speed. What the two owners, their local businessmen, they stated to me is that they had been to two hearings and they had a tenant in there that they could not get evicted. They were having a problem with the eviction process is what was stated to me. They told me that on the third meeting they had missed it because they said they had not received correspondence, which that can go either here nor there. I can't say they did or they didn't. Shortly after, they notified me and decided they'd like me to handle this situation for them. I've got on the second week of February, I met with Mr. Fitzgerald out there, the guy who wrote up all the code complaints. We walked through the structure. He notified me of all the violations. I took real detailed notes. Within a week, I had everything completed except for there was a window issue. I contacted Window World of Central Florida. We under contract with Window World on 227 to replace the windows because they either have to be repairable and working or they have to be replaced. The windows were sold. We couldn't repair them. We had to replace them. That led to an installation date with Window World of 5/10/15.
215 to 5/10/15?
Yes, sir. I was promised 3 weeks. I explained to them the urgency. I have the Window World documents right here with me. I explained to them the urgency of the matter that we were in with the fines and trying to get the fines stopped. Window World incorrectly installed the windows. In Daytona Beach, there's a buck inspection. So then I went back and forth with Kumar, the inspector. We finally got that resolved. And from 5/10 to 5/15, I'm sorry, 5/10 on 15, we just got this inspected and corrected approximately 30 days ago. In the interim, Window World has sent a notice to owner and a claim of lien on the property because I was holding payment because we hadn't passed inspection because I was the GC on the job. I pulled the permit. I held payment, so they scared my owners. My owners were going to pay them double, and I said, you don't have to pay them double. We haven't passed our inspection. Their notice to owner has no weight, and under Florida Statute 71331, they have a fraudulent lien on your property. I'm a very good contractor. I follow all the AIA documents. And so this has turned into a big mess. I know both of these fellows a long time. They own the Kepler Storage in DeLand. It had a fire about 2 years ago. I rebuilt the whole storage, the whole one section for them. They're straight-up businessmen. I assure you that this situation here was no malice on their part. They just couldn't get in the property because the tenant was not evicted, would not let them in. And I've had business dealings with these guys for 20 years, since I was a little boy. I've known them. And they're straight-up businessmen, and they'd like to sell the property. They've invested a bunch of money in the windows and the repairs. And we're just seeking a reduction. If I could point out,
Mr. McKelter, as the file reflects, they were first notified back in March of 2014. Even the meeting date of February of 2015, subsequent to the order being imposed, was about 60 days after the time of the order being imposed, which would have accrued to the maximum of the fine of $15,000. So even if the first meeting with the inspector would still have been at a point of a max of the fine. The staff is requesting, though, that, yes, indeed, it is resolved now, and the staff is requesting 20%, which would be a request of $3,000 to reduction to $3,000. Of course, payable within the next 30 days.
Mr. Fitzgerald. Inspector Fitzgerald was off today, sir.
May I speak?
Mr. Boland here is telling me he had tenant problems. Can we confirm that?
He's off today. Yeah, was it his case then? You would be the only one that would know the answer if you could speak to that.
The request has had no access to property to make corrections, had to evict tenant after eviction. Homeowner hired us to make necessary corrections to property. Is there anything about the tenant?
I cannot speak on the issue of the tenant issue because I didn't work the case. Officer Fitzgerald is off. However, I think with the recommendation that we're going to make, it should be satisfactory to the applicant. So I'll give it back to you.
$3,000.
What do you say to that?
Sir, we were going to ask for $1,500 to cover their cost of what they have going on. If you need proof of the eviction, I believe they did it legally. I believe there's some...
I'll take your word for it, and you can consider it Christmas time. I'll reduce the fine to the sum of $2,250.
I'd be appreciative. Thank you, sir.
So they're $750.
We will get you paid within 2 days.
Angry, you're $750 angry.
No, we're great. I appreciate it.
It has to be paid within 30 days. If it's not paid within 30 days, it reverts to the original amount. If you have trouble doing that, get in touch with the attorney. He'll work with you if he can.
No, sir. How do I find out where we pay the payment?
I'll send you an invoice.
Could you send it to my email, Amy?
Yes.
Thank you. May I be dismissed?
Yes, sir.
Good all right. Hey, y'all have a good Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas.
Are
you
going to sign
anything?
No. Case number two, Donald J. Bracey. Oh, I'm sorry. Case number one, Precious Property Management, LLC.
Good morning. Elmo Angelo Bartolome. I do.
Okay, determination of a compliance state. I don't think I need to look at anything. Do we have a compliance state in mind?
Well, I just talked to Mr. Butera yesterday. He was telling me that we did get the result from the geotechnical Newkirk Engineering as far as the whatever you call that, the retention pond and stuff that they're working on. Mr. Butera is still working on it. However, the reason why it's slow, I'm waiting for the loan approval from the bank. I'm getting an SBA loan, so the process is a little longer than normal loan. That's where we are right now.
Let's say the city.
Mr. Kelly. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Was it all gone yesterday?
Yes, sir. The report from the staff is that there's been no action. There hasn't been any contact since the last meeting. And the position remains the same from the city.
There's some action, as I mentioned, that Mr. Butera is working with Newkirk Engineering about the retention pond. I don't know what kind of communication that he needs to relate to the city about it. So,
what is the relief the city is looking for? Removal of what? Signs, fencing, pavement, concrete?
Yes, sir. I'll refer to the inspector, but it's the same as it has been, that the property be returned to the to its natural state, as you have said before, grass lot, with everything removed as part of the demolition permitting requires.
All right. Well, I've been about as accommodating as I can, and I can't keep these people at bay and day.
I understand that, but...
So hang on. Don't
okay.
So we were at the next meeting, which will be when? January 12, 2016? You either have a compliance date for me written in stone that I'll accept, or they're getting the relief they want. I've accommodated you as best I can. It looks to me as though your plans for the property are much more long range than I had hoped for, and I can't just keep the city at bay.
No, I understand that. But
trying to do anything mean or cruel, but they've got their protocols they need to follow as well. And so that having been said, at the next meeting, if you don't have a compliance date and it's not something I can stomach, then I'm granting them the relief they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Can I just say something? That this all depends on my loan with the bank.
I'm repeating it.
So.
Because I've heard.
Okay.
Okay. I understand your ambitions for the property. I'm happy to hear it. I'm encouraged by seeing anybody doing anything in that wasteland we call a beachside.
Right.
But unfortunately, I live in the midst of it. But all that having been said, rules are rules. These guys are entitled to the relief they've asked for. And I've tried to clear the path for you as best I can.
Okay.
But last month we made no progress, and right now I'm not hearing any progress.
Okay.
I'm sympathetic to all the difficulties, but the fact of the matter is, if it ain't going to come together anytime soon, then I can't help you.
All right.
Mr. Kessler, just one point of clarification. Is it that you want compliance or the plan at the next meeting, or...
At the next meeting, if he doesn't come here with a compliance date that I will accept, I see what you're saying. All right, then at that point, I'm just going to order it to come into compliance by the next next meeting.
I understand.
Okay. So that you'll understand what he's talking about, if you don't come up with an alternative compliance date that that I can live with, then we will default, if you will, to our standard compliance dates, if you will. Which will be the next meeting.
Can I just ask, why did we have to take the whole parking lot paving if I'm still planning to build on the property?
Talk to these guys about that.
I don't know what's the big deal. There's one...
Is sitting on our beach side where we have lots of pastures.
There's one property next to McDonald that's been sitting there with concrete paving all around them.
And
I don't know what's... I don't know why I'm being singled out with that.
You're not being singled out. You can take up that argument with them. If there are other properties you think we ought to be addressing, give them the names of the property, give them the names of the owners and the addresses, and we'll take them all.
Okay, I don't want the address, but it's right next to McDonald. I'm sure you're aware of that, too.
We'll take it all into consideration.
Okay.
But right now, we're as far down the road as we are because you told me I'd have a compliance date.
All right.
Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number two, Donald J. Bracey and Carolyn L. Dodge.
Good morning. Donald J. Bracey.
Carolyn Dodge, this way.
Raise your right hand to tell me, swear or affirm that you tell everybody about the right to the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, we're here for the imposition of a fine. What say the city?
Mr. McKelter, this is property that came to you through our rental inspection program. The inspector is Jurgen Betz. And I will tender that response to Mr. Betz. My last conversation with him was that he was willing to amend, but it remains in our compliance. But I'll tender any further response to Mr. Betz.
Podium. Sorry. Good morning, Mr. McKelter, Jurgen Betz, City of Daytona Beach. The owners are now wanting to convert this property from a duplex to a single family, which would eliminate the need for the parking issue that's before you today. They have submitted a permit to convert the property from two units to one. The permit was turned in today. It has not yet been approved. They're before you today, and they do wish to convert the property from 2-to-1, and we're asking to amend our cutoff date till next month, net compliance date for compliance.
And what are they going to accomplish between now and January 6th?
Well, hopefully the permit's been approved by then. They need to install a passageway between the two units to interconnect the two units and remove the stove from the second kitchen. Remove the stove, remove the second kitchen.
And all that can be accomplished by January 6th?
I believe so, but I will let the owner speak for themselves.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, let's say the respondents. Mr. Betts is proposing that we forego the imposition of fine. We amend our current order of noncompliance to allow you until January 6th, 2016, to come into compliance, and I guess that's all going to be facilitated by your converting this structure from two units down to one.
Correct.
Is that the main plan?
Correct.
And you're amenable to all that?
Yes.
All right, then I will go ahead and order our present amended order of noncompliance be amended to extend the compliance date till January 6, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, did I say that right? Very good.
Yes, sir. Yes.
All right, good luck to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Case number 3, Seabreeze on the Halifax Limited.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Say your name, please.
John Dewsdane.
Raise your right hand. Do you
solemnly
swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I'm sorry, John what?
John Dewsdane.
Dewsdane.
Yes, sir.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city. What say the city?
Mr. Kelger, this is a property that's come in through our rental inspection program. As you indicated, it's up for imposition of a fine. The inspector was Jurgen Bentz on the inspection. My last communication with Mr. Betts was that we were going to seek an imposition of a fine. I think he's since found and determined that the respondent is about two-thirds through. So we're willing to give him until next cutoff so he can get the job completed.
Next cutoff is January 6, 2016. You think it can be done by then?
I'm hoping so. I've had a boom truck that kind of blew me off this weekend, but we got some things done. So, anyway.
Betts, when was the last time you were out there?
I believe it was Monday morning.
Okay. I mean, this is a healthy list of items to be corrected, so we've waded through most of them.
We're down from, I believe, 26 to roughly 7 or 8.
Okay. Good to hear. All right. I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until January 6, 2016 to come to compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Thank you, sir.
Please stay in touch with the inspector. Let him know what you're doing. So if any snafus arise, he can speak for you.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Case number 4, Gracie Land REI Consulting, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city. Looking for a progress report.
You're looking at my case. What are we going to do with that?
Progress report.
I don't have an answer for it.
Are we making any progress toward my progress report?
Okay.
Got a lot of continuous over there. 58
guys. They're almost done with the front building.
Supposed to be almost done with the front and moving into the back building.
But we don't have Mr. McKelger, the inspector is not available. We were anticipating a report or respondent here to give a report. With no respondent present, I will, the best knowledge I have is that they are still making progress, but I would ask that we continue the progress report to the next month and recognizing that they have a compliance date in February, and we'll see if indeed they are moving to meet that date, that deadline.
Do we know why the respondent's not here?
No, I do not. I typically...
progress report next month, then.
Okay.
All right, I'll continue this progress report to the January 12, 2016 meeting. And you guys can't tell me where they stand as far as progress is concerned. That's the focus of the progress report. Okay. As much as we can do with that, case number 5 is in compliance. Case number 6, Kathleen Megan Carter. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. Vicalgi, this property is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. The inspector reports that the circumstance was that this was initially a tenant complaint. The old tenant eventually left the property. The respondent, rather than repairing the property, just put a new tenant in the property, and so it's occupied now with a new tenant. Nothing was done towards repair, and so the staff's request is that an imposition of $200 per day, that you impose a fine of $200 per day to a maximum of $15,000, plus the $250 admin fee for no rental property business tax receipt.
All right, based on the presentation of the city, noting the absence of the respondent, I will fine the respondent on $200 per day, commencing December 3, 2015, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. I'm further ordering the respondent to pay the $250, what did you say, rental license fee?
No, this will be the administrative fee, the business tax receipt.
Okay, the administrative fee for the business tax receipt.
Mr.
McCullough,
did we announce number 5
within
compliance?
Yes, he did.
He did, okay.
Okay, is that it for Ms.
Carter? Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. All right, case number 7, we've already resolved. Case number 8, Larry Brown and Abner Brown. Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Abner Brown.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. We are here for the determination of a compliance date.
Yes. I'm actually still going through the process. I'm just finishing up the process of eviction notice. So I have to go pay the sheriff to go there and do the check for $90. And I'm just waiting until Friday until I get paid so I can pay the money. And then once I get that, I'll start on the repairs.
All right. And do we have any idea how long it's going to take us to do those repairs?
I would say for the repairs was because of the tenant that was staying there. So when I get all his stuff off, I believe a couple of things, but the electricity and plumbing problems, I should be having done before the January meeting, but the roof, I would say it'll probably take me 90 days to get that fixed.
Okay. If you're going that long, you're not going to be able to rent the property or use the property.
I'm not renting the property at all.
All right, well, let's see if we can come up with a program right now. Let's say the city. I'm going to assume this tenant will be evicted as planned.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman says he wants to win.
I would say February, March.
All right, let's say our March 2, 2016 cutoff. He realizes he can't rent, utilize, or otherwise occupy the property until it's in compliance. Let's say the city.
I want to go to
The inspector reports that he really don't feel, you know what, the inspector here is John Stinson. I'll just ask him to address the court on that.
Yes, sir. Good morning, John Stinson, code inspector with the city. My qualifications are on file. This property, barring issues with his eviction, should be able to be brought in full compliance by the February cutoff.
Okay.
There's nothing really large that needs to be dealt with. They're all relatively small issues.
If I can ask, what's the nature of the roof repair?
The actual roof is causing an active leak inside the house. So I don't think he's going to need a whole new roof. He should probably get it done with some patchwork.
Yeah, I haven't seen it because I wasn't allowed in the house throughout the tenant, so I'm thinking the worst.
Understand. And how certain are we that this tenant's going to be gone? Is the tenant in there now?
He shouldn't be in there because he knew that the judgment was in my my behalf, but I got to pay the $90 just to make sure, to the sheriff, just to make sure.
In the property right now or not?
I don't believe so, but I want to do it right, because last time I didn't do it right, and he wrote a letter back to the judge, and the judge ruled back in his behalf, and that's what took longer. That's what made the thing take longer.
Okay, are you local?
No, I'm not local. I'm trying to move back down to Daytona now. I'm trying to get transferred from a job down to Daytona now. I stay in Plantation, Florida, Broward County.
Well, I'm just a little bit uncomfortable putting a date out here on the belief that the tenant's going to be gone, because too many times, you know, eviction proceedings end up going sideways and then lasting a while. But that having been said, this is what I'll do. I'll go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 3, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Now, if you run into more tenant problems than you have right now,
yes,
you know, let your inspector know.
Yes.
If you have problems getting done by February 3 for whatever reason, let your inspector know.
Yes.
Stay in touch with him. And I'm already mindful that you wanted another 30 days anyway, but just keep in touch with him.
Yes.
We'll work toward that February date.
Yes, sir.
If we have to extend it, we'll talk about it then. Okay?
Yes, sir. Right, cool. Thank you. Maybe to miss? Yes.
All right, case number 9, Wayne M. Salter, Jr. and Jonkia N. Salter. Anyone here for the respondent? All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine. Not seeing a respondent, let's say the city.
Mr. Kelger, the inspector in this case is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that there's been no change. As it relates to compliance, it remains to non-compliance. The respondent has done nothing, and in addition to that, it's been uncooperative, and it's been an egregious violation in that. In addition to everything else, they've just made no effort to comply. I know there were some other issues that Mrs. Stinson wanted to alert the magistrate to as well, but all in all, he's requesting that the fine be a fine of $300 per day be imposed to a maximum of $15,000.
Right.
And I would tend to Mr. I don't know if there was something else. No, I guess that's everything, sir.
Based on the presentation by the city, given the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent the sum of $300 per day commencing December 3, 2015. Is there a maximum to be reached here?
Maximum of $15,000, sir.
And the fine will continue to accrue until the property is in compliance, or the amount of the fine will continue to accrue until the property is in compliance, or the amount of the fine reaches $15,000. And do I also see no valid business tax receipt?
Oh, yes, sir.
And in addition, it will impose the $250 administrative fee for failure to obtain the business tax receipt. Is there anything more?
Nope, that's everything.
Case number 10, Tuya and Kaivai LLC. Okay, gentlemen, you will please state your names and be sworn.
Yes, sir. You do.
Dwayne McDuffie.
Praveen Patel.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
You do.
All right, we're here for the imposition of a fine. Let's hear from the city. Let's say the city.
We can change from this. Yes, Ms. Vakel, just confirming that my last communication with the inspector. The inspector in this case is Cliff Reconzone. This is before you for imposition of a fine. It was continued from November 10th. This property has a history of violations, has an outstanding lien that are maxed on violations on the property. This is a commercial property on the main thoroughfare of the city. There's been promises of compliance, even as to last week, of being near compliance. That will be a relatively short-term time period of compliance. The inspector reports that still minor, very little stuff has been done. They're not near compliance. The staff is requesting a fine of $500 per day to a maximum of, I'm sorry, I don't have that maximum amount. Did we calculate that? You can give us a moment to determine what that max is. To a maximum of $25,000.
Okay, let's hear from the respondent.
We acquired a permit. I'm the contractor on the project. We acquired a permit less than a month ago on the facility, and I have been working on it. So far, we've got about halfway done on one building. I didn't realize the extent that code enforcement wanted to go as far as repairs. I was not given a list of exact violations. It was more of a broad range, and that's how I permitted the job. But I had a meeting with code enforcement there on Friday. We are still working. I've got guys there right now working. So we are taking steps to complete it. As you can see,
how many buildings are in this?
I believe four. Yeah, four total. This is the second largest building. This was overgrown 2 weeks ago with vegetation. Had land clearing company come out there, take everything off. All the soffit and fascia is brand new on that side. The painters are there today, actually painting it. So we are doing work. I have done life safety repairs as far as the handrails. I have had guys doing repairs on that. And the fence. There has been repairs done on the fence.
All right, hang on a second.
Yes.
Smoke alarms. Where are we on smoke alarms?
I have not been inside the units. I hired an electrician to repair the smoke alarms. He is claiming that they are done.
And we have electrical permit?
Yes.
And who's your electrical sub?
That would be Kane's Electric.
And how long has he been on the job?
He is coming back tomorrow to fix violations that we saw again. But he has
four buildings. How many units?
79 rentable.
Pardon?
79 rooms. Four building.
79 different units?
No, rooms.
79 rooms, I believe. Yeah. That's what.
Is this a motel?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I thought it was an apartment.
This is Heritage Inn.
Pardon?
Heritage Inn Motel down off of
Ridgewood.
South Ridgewood.
South Ridgewood and what?
1100 South Ridgewood.
Pardon?
Just before.
One block south of
Shady.
What's it called?
It's in Bellevue.
Right.
Yeah. No, the opposite. Bellevue, north of Bellevue.
Between Bellevue and
Bellevue.
North of Bellevue.
It's got that big leaning roof on the front that you see.
Okay. And one massive parking lot.
It does have a bigger parking lot.
Okay, electrical equipment. Where do we stand on the electrical equipment?
As far as the electrical equipment, we have done repairs to it. We are waiting on a custom, actually two custom-made panel covers right now being made because the age and the size of the units, they had to get custom built.
Okay. Electrical system hazards, what does that mean?
Again, that's some of the things that we saw on Friday that was not completed. That's some waterproof boxes that didn't have the correct covers on them. And those are getting addressed tomorrow also. Electrician assured me that he's
coming out. Mechanical equipment, what does that mean?
I'm not sure what they're asking for on mechanical equipment.
Okay.
If the city could...
Extermination, that been taken care of?
That's more of his question, sir.
Yes, sir. More than 90%, we made progress. But Garcia and inspector came on fourth inspection, and they talked to the inspector, my contractor, and we are ready to repair, sir, whatever they tell us.
Okay, well, let's slow down here. Extermination, we taking care of that item or not?
I don't understand.
Bugs.
Yes. Yeah, we have massive waste control.
Garbage, we get it all out of there?
Yes, sir. Three times we are picking up. Morning.
Insect screens. We replace insect screens?
Yes, sir.
You were talking about handrails and guards a minute ago. Where do you stand on that?
As far as ones that we have found around the property, I have had those repaired. Now, I would like to have, if I have missed something there, I would like to know, but I have walked around the property. Any of them that were loose or rotted, they were repaired and replaced.
Okay. Stairways.
Stairways, what was the... I'm not sure what
stairways,
was...
Stairways, decks, porches, and balconies.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they were asking for on the stairways as far as what's wrong with them.
Okay.
Could you reiterate that?
Hold on. We'll come
okay.
back to
okay.
I want to talk to you first.
Yes, sir.
Roofs and drainage, where do you stand on that?
Roofing contractor is to meet me there today, and I went over this with code enforcement as far as a plan that we could come up with. I'm having the contractor meet me out there, go over every roof there, see and
Who's
make
the roofing contractor?
Tom Donati. He is listed on the permit.
Okay. So you already have a roofing permit?
We have a all-inclusive permit that I have had all the subs with. Yes,
all right,
sir.
Protective treatment, what does that mean?
Would that be paint? Is that paint? That is being taken care of also.
Accessory structures, what does that mean?
They have a couple of different buildings on the facility that... I believe they were used at one time to, like, they had, like, a fireplace at one time on one. There are some minor repairs that still need to be completed on those.
Okay, and weeds.
Two times a month. We have the contractor, so every fortnight they are coming and cut the all weeds and everything, grass, everything.
The biggest thing that I saw was... As you can see that picture there, we have cleaned all the vegetation and growth, vines, everything off of that backside of the plant.
Right, so best guesstimate, how much of this list do you think you've completed so far? As you understand it.
As I understand it, it is difficult for me to understand exactly what they're wanting every single time.
Give me my percentage first, then I'll come back to you.
20%?
You think you're 20% done. All right, now, what areas do you believe you are in need of clarification from the city? Because you're not clear on what it is they want.
As of Friday, when I had the meeting with code enforcement out there, they were pointing out things that could be a code violation, but I was not sure if it was a code violation. That's the line that...
Well, I'm the arbiter of that, so
yes,
you
sir.
Take your chances with what I have to say
yes, sir.
That. What areas are there that you're telling me you flat out need to know what it is they want done because you don't know?
The roof is one thing, but I think we have a good game plan with how to repair and appease everyone with the roof.
Okay.
Soffit and fascia areas, that may or may not be repaired back properly. That's one of the issues that they saw there on Friday that I'm not sure if it needs to be repaired or not.
Well, that's your call. And if you think that's going to pass muster as far as I'm concerned, then good for you.
Okay. It's not pretty, by all means. It's not pretty, and I wouldn't have it at my house, but is it a violation? That's worth the question.
What other areas are we talking about here? Roof, soffit face? You're telling me you need clarification on these topics. What else?
They do have, let's see, the decks. What I don't know what problems with the decks that we have.
What else?
Stairways and balconies. I don't know what issues that we're having with that.
Anything else?
As far as on this list, no, sir.
Okay. It looks to me from looking at this list, you're first going to tell me all the life safety matters, like smoke alarms, are resolved.
As far as I know, they are.
Okay, well,
I have not personally checked each unit.
Before the next meeting, you are going to personally
check. Yes, sir.
Because you're the one I'm going to want to hear from.
Okay.
Because I'm going to look for one person and try to summarize where we are on this stuff.
Okay.
So, at the next meeting, I'm going to continue the imposition of a fine until the next meeting. Now, but what I want to know right now is I want to make sure when you leave here, you know exactly what has to be done.
Okay.
And at the next meeting, I'm going to go down this laundry list just like I am now. Smoke alarms, hopefully you're going to tell me, Mr. Bukelch, I personally inspected the smoke alarms. They're all functioning. They're fine.
That's fine.
Great. You know, sounds like the electrical works a big component. You tell me you have that in the works. Electrical system hazards. Okay. Mechanical equipment, as I understood it, you weren't sure what that was, so hopefully they'll explain it. You tell me extermination's taken care of, rubbish and garbage taken care of, insect screens. I don't know if we mentioned that or not. Handrails, guards, stairways, and decks. You needed some clarification. Get it. Roofs and drainage. You tell me the roof man is up there now. Protective treatment, accessory structures, weeds. Okay. Now, the inspector's there right now. He's indicating he needs some clarification regarding things. Is there any need for that, or does he need to sit down with you, or
I'll make contact with him and I'll make sure everything's clear.
I think we have a good game plan. We have a working relationship together. We're not like, you know, ignoring one another on this. Cliff is easy to work with, and Hector came out. And I think that we have a good idea of what each one of us wants, but you were asking for specifics on this list that I was not sure of.
All right, well, I'm going to continue the imposition of the fine until next month's meeting. Hopefully by next month you will be able to tell me you have an understanding of everything that needs to be done, and hopefully you'll tell me we're up to 50, 60, 70%, or whatever it may be.
Okay.
And I can tell you right now, putting lipstick on a pig.
I said that on Friday.
Not going to be particularly persuasive to me. So when in doubt, err on the high side.
Yes, sir.
Right,
I will.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
See you next week. Don't move. Yeah. 72.
All right. Case number 11. Ralph Melton Family Partnership Limited and A&F Enterprises.
Okay.
Doing businesses, Ages, Bellanova Liquors.
That's why I was just...
Can you step up to the microphone and say your name, please, for the record?
Michael Shalobi.
Michael, sorry, what was your
C-H-I-L-O-B-I.
And ma'am, are you identified?
Deborah Weiland, W-E-I-L-A-N-D.
Okay. Can you raise your right hand, please? And you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about providing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Okay. Okay, did you say Deborah Weiland?
Weiland. Yes, sir.
Okay. And what is y'all's affiliation with Ralph Mighton Family Partnership Limited?
I'm the property manager. I'm his agent.
So you're authorized to speak on behalf of the respondent?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. This matter is here for a noise violation. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then I find the respondent in noncompliance. All right, Mr. Attorney, how much time should it take for respondent to come into court?
Mr. Kelch, I've been advised by the officer that they are now in compliance, and they understand the nature of what this, it's a reoccurring complaint. And just in case they don't have a copy of our ordinance, I'm giving them a copy with the highlighted portions and one for the court as well. I'll provide that to you. I know we don't, since it's in the other book. But the general nature is just that they have patrons who are regularly in the parking lot blasting music, and it's disturbing the neighboring residential property owner. And it's a repeated complaint. It's a reoccurring complaint. And the ordinance provides that the property owner shall not allow or permit. So from that perspective of being the owner who can control what's happening, that's the basis of the violation.
Looks like our officer is itching to speak.
Mr. Vakalja, Officer Perry with the police department. Yeah, I got sworn in. The violation, since I've been working with the property manager, has pretty much ceased. They've been more than cooperative. They've hired a detail. They've adjusted their hours. They've done everything they possibly could to stop this problem. And they're well aware that, you know, with the order of noncompliance, compliance, that if it happens again, they'll come right back for a fine. So, but they're more than cooperative with us. And since we've gone through this process, I've had good contact with Debbie, the manager, and Mike, the bar owner, and they've done everything I've asked them to do to correct the problem.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you. So what's the relief that the city's seeking?
There's nothing else needed. You made the finding of noncompliance, and as the officer had indicated, the understanding that a future return would be a repeat violation, and so hopefully that's something that they'll just stay on top of so that we don't have that reoccurring.
All right. Well, based on the presentation of the city, I found that the respondent is now in compliance, and that I guess I'm supposed to caution the respondent that if there's a future violation, please understand, you know, you could be subjected to a fine. And let me tell you the way these things usually go. There's an assistant manager there or a new manager there, and they don't know that this is in place, and then the next thing you know, you get caught sideways. So just try to be as vigilant as you can about keeping the noise under control, and everything will be fine.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 12, ADL Partners LLC and DJA Partners LLC. Is there anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Mr. Kelcher, this is before you for finding a compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Daniel Garcia. He reports that this arose as a tenant complaint. The property is in noncompliance, and he's asking for next cutoff for the respondent to come into compliance.
Very good. All right. Noting the absence of the respondent, based on the city's presentation, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by January 6, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 13, ADL Partners LLC and BJA Partners LLC. Okay. Is there anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
Mr. Kelter, as the inspector again, is Daniel Garcia. He indicates that this is really the same complex. I guess another portion. And that this, as well as from tenant complaints. In this situation, the owner says he's working on it. The inspector is asking for finding him noncompliance and to give him till next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay, noting the absence of the respondent, based on the city's presentation, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. In order the respondent to come into compliance by January 6, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 14, Kenneth F. and Wanda R. Aubrey. Anyone here for the respondent?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Kenneth Aubrey.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony
you're
about to provide
is the
truth,
the
whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Mr. Aubrey, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
No, sir.
Okay. All right, then let's go to the city. Trailer parked on driveway. What say the city?
Mr. Calgi, the property is was inspected by Danny Garcia. He indicates that. Let's see here.
No.
Do you have the details? Okay. All right. Well, this clarification from Mr. Garcia that it initiated with Vicki Langford, the inspector Vicki Langford, but he's done the follow up and has been involved in the property as well. And he announces the property was in non-compliance, but now is currently in compliance. But I will attend to Mr. Garcia and let him tell you the facts as relates to the non-compliance.
Morning. Daniel Garcia, Code Enforcement Inspector with City of Daytona Beach. My credentials are on file. This is a case where Fairway States asked for a meeting, a quarterly meeting that I attend. They asked for a sweep, code enforcement to sweep the whole entire area, and finding of the violations of any RVs, boats, trailers parked on the driveway, and to cite them. So we did so. There was numerous violations, numerous citations issued, notices issued, and this was one of them where Vicki Langford cited the trailer that is parked in the driveway behind the Mustang, right here. We see it parked in the truck. These were several days going for reinspections in the area and just taking these pictures. And it now came in compliance with the trailer being moved. The ordinance states that the trailer can be on the grass, but behind the building line, which would be on the right or the left of this building. But it cannot be in the driveway. And that's why she cited it. I did a reinspection, now found it in compliance, and all we're asking for is finding of noncompliance compliance in case it does become another repeat violation. Like,
what say, Mr. Aubrey?
Well, I think the ordinance says, Your Honor, that or sir, that it, if you're moving the trailer in and out all the time within 24-hour period, that you are in compliance. And as you can see from their pictures, there's lawnmowers on them, and it does work all the time. The different pictures, as you can see, some of the pictures there they don't have in it. Now, I have moved the trailer off the property, and I was going to do that anyway, but my wife was up in Shands Hospital for 65 days and after I got their notice, and I didn't.
Let me help you out here. Did you see the trailer on the property?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not saying the trailer wasn't there, but I did take it in and out, and the ordinance does say as long as you're moving it within 24 hours.
And are you going to tell me you went there two or more days in a row and saw the trailer in the same location, did not appear as though it had been moved?
I've been there several days, different dates, as you can see, and all those dates, the trailer was...
Well, if you look, one it's hooked to the truck, and the next time it's hooked to the van. It's not in the same position each time that it's there, so it is going in and out. And that's by his picture, sir. I mean, I have, if you look, I did bring a receipt that I did go ahead just so we won't have this problem in the future, where I do have a place that I park the trailer now. I have a contract with Lock It or Leave It over there. I just feel that we were in compliance by moving the trailer out. I feel we moving the trailer in and out all the time like that and not staying there. As you can see by his pictures, it's... lawnmowers, weed eaters.
You have a lawn service?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, in any event, you've moved the trailer now?
Yes, sir.
The trailer's not coming back?
No, I put it over. For $20 a month, I don't need
to have it. I would take it at your word that you moved it in and out.
But if I can just clarify something, that it, according to my zoning officer who was present, that at least on the nature of this violation, it's not a 24-hour state circumstance, so it's just for clarification.
Say that again.
That you don't, you're not able to leave the vehicle for 24 hours on
the lot. No, I think it states that you have to move it somewhere within every 24 hours, as long as you're going in and out.
Moving vehicles for unloading and loading purposes.
But that's kind of not the way it reads, though, that I read it. And I apologize if I read it wrong.
I think. Have you heard on this?
Yes, I would call Rose Askew, and she could be sworn.
Good morning. In Article 6.
Did you state
your name? Sure. Rose Askew, planner for the City of Daytona Beach.
Which one is it?
Yes, I do. In Article 6 in our Land Development Code under the Mobility Access section, it talks about parking of trailers and mobile homes. If he parks it there regularly, he has to have a permanent parking space that can be on the side or the rear of the property that is paved or have some kind of surface that is put down. Just because he's going back and forth every day does not mean he can keep parking it there as long as it's less than 24 hours. So if he's going to be parking it there on a regular basis, he has to have a designated place on that property to be able to park that trailer.
You good?
Can I say something?
Sure.
I didn't realize, you know, that, to be honest with you, that you couldn't park there all the time. I've never had any contact with Mr. Garcia or the young lady to explain this. And my wife's home all the time, and nobody's ever knocked on the door or anything like that and said, hey, other than last month, we weren't there last month because of the hospital thing. Can I bring it up to you?
Dismissing this as moot. It's been resolved.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Can it be dismissed?
Yes, sir. All Christmas charity aside, please make sure the trailer doesn't come.
Oh, absolutely, sir. No, I enjoy the subdivision. I love it over there. I've got great people.
Great.
So
great. Great to hear. All right.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Charles E. Davis. Anyone for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. Kelly, this is before you for compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is John Stinson. He reports that the property remains in non-compliance, and he's asking for the next cutoff for the property to come into compliance.
Okay, not seeing a respondent based on the city's presentation. I find the respondent being non-compliance. In order the respondent come into compliance by January 6, 2016, or be returned to special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 16, Michael J. Ford. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Ms. Vicalzi, this property is was inspected by Inspector John Stinson. It's before you for compliance or non-compliance. It's a police issued. The property remains in non-compliance. Ms. Stinson reports that the respondent should be able to bring it into compliance by next cutoff. And so we ask for you to make a finding of non-compliance and give it to next cutoff to come into compliance. Okay.
Is this Mr. Ford?
I apologize. I had a go question.
Hi, Michael J. Ford.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about the right is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And Mr. Ford, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, most of them.
All right, I find the respondent non-compliance. The city is proposing that you ought to be able to come into compliance by January 6th. What do you think?
That's not long enough. And the things on the list, they're saying that I have to put on a new roof, and I don't believe I need to.
Okay.
If I have to, I will. I don't know what sections they want me to do, but I did have the roof coated. And I complied on everything on that list except for the stairwell, which is being permitted.
Okay, so when do you think you'll have it in compliance?
The stairwell, well, once I get the permit and with the holidays and everything coming in, we're probably going to look at, I would say, like February, just in case things go wrong. I have no tenants living in...
2016. So you think you'll have any compliance by February 3?
That was February 3, yes.
Okay.
To the stairwell, yes.
All right. And, you know, as far as the roof concerns, if you and the inspector want to disagree on whether it's compliant or not, then he comes back before me. If he's right, you lose. If you're right, he loses. So as long
Got
as you're
it.
Willing to roll those dice, at least you understand how it works. All right. I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by February 3, 2016. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
All right. Okay, thank you.
And if they responded.
Touch with your inspector as you near that compliance state, because if you run into any obstacles, he'll be your best friend if you need additional time.
Well, if I'm out of my state, the reason why I'm here is because I never knew of these proceedings, and when I received the first letter, I was working on getting these things done,
okay.
And I didn't see anyone come to the property. I probably should have called them. Now I know I should.
Mr. McCallum, in case there is a lack of communication subsequent while we have the opportunity, also if we just advise that the things that you are doing and have done, you need to obtain permits for the work being done.
Which things are that, sir?
Okay, well, you get with your inspector.
Okay.
And have a sit down over what needs to be done, and you might find along the way that some of it's going to require contractors, some of it's going to require permits.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the most effective way for you to do that is to sit down with the inspector so you understand exactly what has to be done.
Fine.
Right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 17 has already been resolved. Case number 18, Gilbert Niara. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Before you for compliance or non-compliance, and inspector reports that the property remains in non-compliance and can be remedied by next cutoff. So we would ask that you give the respondent till next cutoff to come into compliance.
Noting the absence of a respondent, based on the city's presentation, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by January 6, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 19, Dramonis Georges LLC and 2D2G Corp.
We took care of that with Mr. Hartley.
Okay, thank you. Case number 20, U.S. Bank National Association. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
The respondent is in non-compliance. The inspector is Cliff Reconcile, and the respondent can be in compliance by next call. So the request is that he be in compliance by next call.
During the absence of the respondent, based on the presentation by the city, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by January 6, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 21, Black Tide USA LLC. Is there anyone here on behalf of the respondent?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Dewsney?
Yes, sir.
Very good. All right, and your affiliation with Black Tide USA LLC?
I'm the registered agent.
All right, you're authorized to speak on their behalf?
I am, but first of all, I got lucky to find out about this. Are they supposed to have proof of service of this, or can they just post a notice? And, I mean, luckily it went from a tenant to the property manager, and luckily the property manager decided to tell me what was going on. And I was already going to be here. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known at all about this proceeding.
Right.
Do you guys have proof of service? Just curious.
Board
Secretary.
It's 35,000%, but it doesn't list you as a registered agent for the corporation, just as LHD Granger.
Okay, I represent LHD Granger.
Okay. For 827
Center
Avenue?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, the certified mail was not received, so the property was posted.
Well, that explains how the tenant and the property manager all brought it to your attention, I suppose.
Right.
So who's the registered agent for Black Tide USA LLC?
LHD Granger LLC.
So the registered agent's another company?
It's another corporation, but they both have the same mailing address.
Yes, so it would be I'm representing.
USA LLC also has the same mailing address as LHC.
And that's what the correspondence went to?
Yes, sir.
Next question.
Okay. Now, I have approached the city on this. Okay. I went to speak to, because they were saying, well, let me tell you what happened in the situation.
Let me back up a second.
Sure.
Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
The trash, I never saw it. By the time I got there, it was gone.
Sounds like a denial. Anything else that you're agreeing existed or occurred?
The missing piece of T111, which I think is maybe one piece, I don't even know. In between tenants, somebody came through and pried off, I think it was just one panel of T111, not maybe two. But
this isn't happening right now. So let's go to the city.
Right.
Let's find out exactly what the violation is, so we can all be on the same page.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Vickelger, this is before you for finding of compliance and non-compliance. The inspector is Cliff Reckonzone, and a witness of the or also testifying and available is Rose Askew. She's been previously sworn, and at this time I'll call our zoning officer, Rose Askew, and I think she can probably bring some light.
Okay.
Good morning. I'm speaking on behalf as a citizen. This property abuts my property. I live at 715 Tennessee Street. I actually called code on this property. On the day I called code, I was at home. I had had surgery, heard a noise in the backyard, got up, looked out the window to see them kicking out my fence in my backyard to cut through the yard. I've had several conversations with the property manager regarding that property, the maintenance, them tearing up the fence, all kinds of things, loud music back there, drinking, throwing bottles on my property. The response I got from the property manager was, you need to just move out of that neighborhood because they're all just bums and nothing's going to happen there anyway, and if you want it fixed, you can go ahead and buy the property yourself, but we're not going to put anything into it. I've been there for 12 years, had several conversations with various owners. Nothing has ever happened, and so I got to the point where I realized the property owner was not going to do anything with it, so I called code. This morning when I left home, all of the trash, the debris, all of the everything for that shed is still exactly the way it was. I had my fence repaired 2 days after, and they have now kicked it out again.
What's on the other side?
It's a half of a shed that's open, and they go back there in that shed and they drink, they throw bottles, they party, they do all kinds of things, all times
the
night.
Is the shed an accessory too? Is there a house?
It's like a duplex that's there.
So who's using the shed?
I don't know who the people are that are using it. I have no idea.
Pictures of them, so I know who they are. See, this is unfortunately it's one of these situations where. I'm not managing the property. Who's the property manager that told you that? Was that Pat?
It's a guy, and he was very rude. I've talked to him on several occasions, and he said he was the property manager. He worked for Black Tide. That's all I know.
We don't have a guy. I'm the only guy who works for Black Tide USA.
The person I know for a fact that they tried contacting this company, it's very difficult to even get their address. And when I finally got a person based on the contact information they had for the owners of that property off of the city system, the guy was very rude. It's whoever the contact person's name that's on the business license.
Okay, well, how current are these photos?
Those photos are taken on Mr. McAlger, my name is Cliff Reckinson. I'm the inspector on the case. These pictures were taken on the day of the inspection. I have not been back.
No,
in the backyard.
But
of her backyard since that one was taken on November 28th of the front yard.
I have not been.
Ask you has, and she has said that nothing's changed.
As of this morning,
I find the property non-compliance. All right. How much time should be required from the compliance? And I also want to know what constitutes compliance, because if this structure needs to be removed, then it needs to be removed. I'm not hearing anybody tell me it serves any particular purpose other than a gathering place for a bunch of idiots.
It's actually the back of a woodshed, and there's somebody had pried off some panels of T111 that I could replace, but I stopped by the city to find out what was involved with getting the permits and everything that they're requiring, you know, and they said I needed to get a general contractor or a carpenter, and for a building like that, I mean, I could get the, if I'm allowed to just put the panels back up and put a padlock on that back door, that I'd be glad to do that if that will help. But
well,
if I have to go through
between you and the city,
right.
So as it stands right now, what's the relief the city's looking for, and what constitutes compliance?
Mr. Kelger, if he's going to repair that structure, then the city believes that it can be done by next cutoff. Of course, if he's going to demolish it, I guess he would need permits in either situation. So we're probably actually looking until February to get into compliance. The status of the garage as we know it right now. Okay. As our best knowledge of it right now is that it's non-conforming, and if indeed it is, then it wouldn't have to be removed and it would have to be demolished. And so he would need a permit for that. Of course, there's whatever remedies, alternative remedies he wants to seek if he believes that it should be able to be retained. The inspector reports that he's never heard from anyone, or he's never heard from anyone from this Mr. Dusney. And so they've never really discussed the remedies up to this point. But it would be reasonable to go until February, only because of the likelihood that chair will have to be removed and permits will be necessary.
Let's say, Mr. Dusney, as far as how much time it should take to go into compliance.
If I can go over and just put the panels back and put a padlock on it, it won't take that long. Getting a general contractor or when I went to the city, they gave me a thing for Volusia County carpenters that can pull a permit. I went through the internet. I spent hours trying to find somebody. So it all depends on that. If they say, okay, just secure the building and put padlocks, that it won't. I can do it within, you know, very quickly.
Okay.
And I'm glad to work with.
Well,
with,
as you might have heard earlier, the thing of the day is we're not interested in lipstick on pigs right now.
Yes.
Okay. And that having been said, I suspect the city wants this shed gone, but then you, as the property owner, have your rights too.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, I don't know what can or can't be done with this shed, but you've got two ways to go with it. You are either going to make it look pristine and it's going to be secure so that people aren't going to have ready access to it unless you allow them to. First of all, who has the right to use that shed?
Nobody.
Do your tenants have the right to use that shed?
They really shouldn't be.
Okay, well, if your tenants don't have the right to use that shed, but it's your property and it's on your property, so be it. But only to the extent that it is secured and maintained, okay, because it's your responsibility.
Yes, sir.
If, on the other hand, we just want to slap some boards up there and hope it goes away, well, that's not going to fly.
Well, I'm hoping to put the same boards that were on there.
You've already said this three times.
Yes, sir.
I heard you. Okay?
Yes, sir.
I heard you. So my point is, you need to make a decision as far as which way you're going with this, whether you're going to restore it or whether you're going to demolish it. And then that will determine how much time you're going to get to do those things. Now, it sounds to me as though whether you're restoring it or demolishing it, it ought to be able to be done by February
3, 2015. Yes, sir.
Pardon? I'm sorry, February 3, 2016. That's why I always put my glasses on. Now, okay, so I'm sure you can feel the heat coming from the city. I can.
Yes.
And so, like I said, this thing is becoming a nuisance, and pretty soon, the next time we meet, there will be a policeman standing here to tell us this is now a police issue. And then that's going to throw it into another orbit altogether. So, make your decision as far as what you're going to do with your shed. It is your shed. I would hope that it's going to be something a little more than a Band-Aid. And you're going to be responsible for seeing to it that it's secured, or else there will be another notice of violation you'll be confronting from people congregating on that property.
Mr. Kelly, I'm sorry if I just can't interrupt, because I may have left you as well as him misled, and I don't want him misled. It very well may be that he can't have it there, and that's something that would be determined if he comes, when he comes for permits or by subsequent inspection. The as we know, he's dealing with the zoning officer, the neighbor to the property. She's already looked into much of this, and her determination is that it's an unpermitted accessory structure, which would mean it's going to require to be removed. So he may not have that option.
What properties are and are not, and the citizen here has an opportunity to go find out for himself if there should be any differing opinions as far as what it is or is not. Then it's up to him as to whether he chooses to fight or not fight. So that's his right.
Thank you.
And I'm not here to trespass on that. And at the same time, I'm sympathetic to our officer's situation. It is unfortunate that she has to be subjected to this.
And I am too, and I apologize for
good sense
anything.
To take care of it. And there's just so much screaming I can do. So that having been said, this property will be in compliance by February 3, 2016, or you'll be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And I would urge you to leave some contact information with some people, because I would want to make sure that somebody follows through and gets this done.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. Case number...
Case.
22. Willie D. Walker Estate. Is there anyone here for the respondent?
Demar Walker Neville. Demar. D-E-M-A-R.
Swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Ms. Neville, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right, I find the respondent non-compliance. Mr. City Attorney, how much time should reasonably be required for the respondent to come into compliance?
What would be reasonable is next cutoff, Mr. McCallager.
All right, Ms. Neville, Mr. Jackson here is suggesting you ought to be able to have this taken care of by January 6, 2016. What do you think?
Oh, yes. Some has already been done. The wood was already removed from this. That's my dad. He died. This is death certificate. So what I'm doing is cleaning up his act. He would probably be mad that I said that. Anyway, this damaged fence is removed already. I took care of it. I didn't get a chance to call you. Hey, boy, why didn't you call me? Okay, anyway. Junk vehicle. It's a skeleton, but the kids like it. I got a couple of grandkids that are climbing all over it. It's going today. I told them say goodbye yesterday. So they're not. No, they'll just see it gone. Other than that, we're trying to beautify it.
All right, bear with me while I sound draconian. All right, I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by January 6, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, do what you're doing. Take care of it. Contact your inspector.
Cliff.
Because he needs to do the final inspection.
Thank you so much. Sorry for the inconvenience. Right, we're moving on it today.
Good luck to you.
Coming by?
All right. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
No, I don't think so, sir. Have a Merry Christmas.
And that were adjourned at